Thank you for listening to the weekly messages of New Providence Primitive Baptist Church. To subscribe to our podcast, hear other messages, or learn more about us, please visit nppbc.com.
Turn with us this morning to the book of Acts. We're going to read from a couple of places in Acts. I want to start with Acts chapter number 26, and then we'll go to Acts chapter number 19. A very serious subject matter this morning, and so pray for us. We want to be obedient to God, but you know, I want you to be more than just a hearer of the word, a doer also. Acts chapter number 26. We're going to begin at verse number 24. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but I speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I also speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. Turn with us now to Acts chapter number 19. Verse number 1, only going to read 5 verses. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? They said unto him, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and all the men were about 12. Bow with us. Lord, we come as humble as we know how, realizing the gravity of this message and the importance. And so we pray most of all, that your word, by your spirit, be clear and find its mark. We're but an instrument and frail at that. Help us, we pray, as we ask this earnestly in the name of Jesus. Amen. I read to you 2 different passages this morning that involve people that were almost Christians. Almost. Bless you. Almost is altogether lost. Lost. seems the culture that we live in today that we're kind of going backwards. It's not necessarily the Mosaic law that's driving people. But it's a belief that if they're good enough, that this somehow merits the favor of God. And they simply are ignorant to truth because this does not teach that. You will not find in this book that man has ever been able to merit the favor of God through his own work. We look at others and we're judging them based upon our own standard. And we think that a certain person's a good fella, a good woman, because they have certain characteristics, and somehow or another we attribute those as being holy characteristics. And because of that, they somehow have a spot in heaven. It amazes me when you ask people whether or not they're going to heaven or hell, they'll tell you they're going to heaven. But if you press them on the matter and ask them on what grounds will you get there? They don't have anything to stand on. Because what they think is that it's because of something they've done. You can't get to heaven on your own. You are incapable of getting to heaven. You're going somewhere. And both heaven and hell are real. Both heaven and hell inhabit those who have departed. Which one is your home? We have an opportunity, and I have a responsibility to tell you truth. And even if it empties this place, I cannot but tell you the truth. You cannot almost be a Christian. It's like saying that this is almost yellow. Paul shared the gospel with Agrippa, and I believe he had treasured that opportunity. All he did was to tell Agrippa what happened to him. He wasn't expounding some deep theological mystery. What he told Agrippa was, he came, I was lost, and I believed. And he changed everything for me. He expounded the truth of the gospel. And when Festus, in his own pride and probably conviction, yelled out, "Paul, you're a madman. You've lost your mind. All this learning and all this stuff about Jesus has made you a bit nuts." Paul said, "I'm not crazy, Festus." He said, "As a matter of fact, everything that I've said, the king knows is true. He knows that it's true. Because this thing that I speak of was not done in a corner. Wasn't hidden. It was clear." And then he simply asked Agrippa, the king, he said, "Do you believe?" Now Paul made an amazing statement. He said, "I know you believe." And Agrippa said, "Paul, almost You persuade me to be a Christian. Almost. Paul and Apollos had split up there in chapter number 19, and as they both went different directions to share the gospel. The Bible said that Paul, in coming into the upper part of Ephesus, he come across a group of men, about 12 of them, and the scripture said that they appeared to be disciples. And Luke is writing this, and I believe in the eye of Paul, he's trying to share with us what Paul actually, what actually occurred for Paul. He comes up and he sees this group, and they seem awfully religious. Right? And they seem like they're disciples of Christ. Apparently, based on where he saw them or where he met them and how they talked and what they did, he made an assumption that these were disciples. And yet there was something about it that he had to stop for a minute. There was something that wasn't right. You ever met somebody that says, I'm a Christian, but in your heart, you just, it's something not right. I like it, Bruce, when I meet people and the Spirit bears witness. I meet people like that. When they say they're a Christian, suddenly there is something common that begins to bear witness between us. I love that. Amen. You know why? Because I know it's true then. I know that they're not almost a Christian. They're all the way. A born again believer in Jesus Christ. There was something not right. Whatever it was, it compelled the Apostle Paul to stop. And he looked at them and he said, let me ask you a question. He said, have you received the Holy Spirit? And they said, no. We don't even understand what you're asking us. He had one more question. He said, to then, what were you baptized? If you ain't received the Holy Spirit, he said, what then were you baptized to? They said, oh, that was John's baptism. Now, God, see, Paul. Aha. I understand the problem right now. You know what them men were? Almost Christians. They were almost Christians. But had they died in that condition, they would have been altogether lost. You see, John the Baptist couldn't save anybody. And the Apostle Paul, he began to share with them. He said John's baptism was clear. He preached repentance, but he also declared that there was one coming after him in whom you must believe. One coming after him that was the Savior of the world. These men were almost Christians. And I'm afraid we have people in the church all the time that are almost Christians. They look like Christians. They act like Christians most of the time. They try to do Christian things and talk Christian ways. But may I say to you today that none of that makes you a Christian. I'm so glad that Paul asked him a question. The one thing the Apostle Paul knew was that if they were truly born again, they would have the Spirit of God in them. Let's take you to the Scripture. Jesus told Nicodemus that night, he said, you must be born again. And when I say born again, he said, what I mean is, you were born once in the flesh. He said, but you must be born in the Spirit. If you're not born in the Spirit, he said, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't go to heaven unless you're born again of the Spirit. Oh, how glad I am that I received the Holy Spirit the very moment I got saved. Let me tell you about justification just real quick. Justification is not a process. It is an event. It is an occurrence that happens immediately when you're born again.
Amen.
It's not something you have to work towards.
Amen.
Justification is not something that I will gain over time. No, the very instant at a 9-year-old boy, I got justified by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And in that instant, He purified what was wrong. I was born again of the Spirit, and He sealed that by His Holy Spirit till the day of redemption.
Yes.
I am not almost a Christian. I am altogether a Christian.
Amen.
I can no longer be anything but a Christian. I was bought with a price. I am not my own anymore. Being a Christian is not simply a decision that one makes. No, that's far too simple a process. Being a Christian requires a conversion. It requires a transformation that is miraculous in its source. It is not simply turning over a new leaf. That's what people think, right? They think, soon as I can quit sinning, I'm going to get right with God. That day will never come. You will never get to the place in your life that you can quit sinning against God. What's going to be required of you is that you find yourself a sinner, helpless without God, and call on Him to be saved. When you get saved, you will receive the Holy Spirit. And Paul knew that. That the mark of a born-again believer, number one, is that the Spirit of Holy God abides now within them. That makes you an exclusive purchase of Jesus Christ. You can almost be a Christian and still be lost. The first we want to share with you today is the religious lost. I heard a guy preaching just this week, and he apparently has a congregation of thousands. And they have multiple service, which multiple thousands come in at each service. And he boldly stood up and said to them, I fear that most of you are on the outside looking in. And I thought, what boldness. I said, what a great thought. God had already been wearing me out over this. And then I heard this and I thought, you know what? The man of God only has one option, and that is to tell the truth. Anything else we're judged for. Anything else will lead people astray. Anything else will make you almost a Christian, but almost is altogether undone. You cannot get to heaven on your own. You must be born again. There is a religious bunch that come to church every Sunday. You say, preacher, should I not come to church? No, you should come to church. And I'll take having a building full of people that are undone, because if you're at least in the church, you're going to hear something that'll direct you the right way. So please keep coming. Right? Do not confuse what I'm trying to say here. I want you here. I love you. This people loves you. I promise you that. We care for your soul. Jesus died for you. But you're almost a Christian. Let me ask you a question. Have you received the Holy Spirit? You know if you've received the Holy Spirit. Wait, maybe I was just acting on my own right then. Did you know when you got saved? How old was you? You sure? How do you know? There's something came in that day. Oh, how I wish I could share it with you. I wish I could tell you what it feels like. How I wish I could open it up somehow and let you see what it means to be infilled by the Holy Ghost of God. But that ain't the way it works. You have to simply believe. You have to believe. Preacher, I'm not sure I'm a Christian. Have you received the Holy Spirit, Jeff? Yeah? To what were you baptized? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Right? You see, there's some questions that we can ask the religious. And Paul knew these men, they had good intentions. These good old boys, amen. They heard the message of John and they said, I'm in. They said, baptize me. I'm going. I'll follow it. This is the right thing. But you see, they hadn't heard all the truth. They had followed and they had believed in the baptism of John. They had been baptized. They were apparently religious men. Here they were, still coming together. 12 of them. Right in the middle of Ephesus. Somehow or another, they had seen John. Somehow or another, they'd met a disciple of John. They'd been baptized in the baptism of John. They had heard the message of John. But what they didn't know was that Jesus was the reason John came. And so here was these men, you know what they were doing? They were gathering up somewhere in Ephesus, 12 of them, and they were talking about John, and they were talking about what he said, and they were talking about what he did, and all the while they were thinking to themselves, but there's got to be something more. There has to be. Because as religious as we are, and as much as we believed in this baptism, I still can't quit the sin. There's still something missing inside me. There's still something that I know is not right. Let me tell you something. You can almost be saved. But you will know the difference between almost and altogether. There is a religious people today that every Sunday they dress up. Ain't nothing wrong with dressing up. But if you think dressing up's what makes you holy, that's part of how they get almost to be Christian. They think it has something to do with how they look or how they've dressed. They think in some way or another that church attendance, amen, is building to them a credit that is accounting unto God, and that someplace it's going to go ching and they're in. He found me that night. I was totally lost and totally helpless. And let me tell you how the transaction went. I said, save me, and I believe. And ching, it was done. The Holy Spirit filled my soul. The transaction was finished. I now did not belong to myself anymore. I was made a new creature in Christ Jesus. And the Holy Ghost filled me that day. Amen. He has never left me. I've been places where I shouldn't have took him, but he never left. And everywhere that I went, I knew I wasn't supposed to be there. Amen. Don't think for a minute the Holy Spirit is passive in your daily activity. Right? If you think that he lays back and just lets you do whatever you want, you're almost a Christian. Because if my God lives in you like he lives in me, there ain't anything you ever do, Jeff, that he won't address if it's an issue. Almost a Christian. We have people, bless their heart, amen. We love them. They're our people. And yet they come to God and they're not saved. They come to church. Church attendance is good. I just said it earlier. As a parent, as a father, the responsibility is for me to lead my family. It lays squarely upon my shoulders to lead my children. And every time the doors are open, we're going to be in the house of God. Now, that is important. That is important. But it will not save you. You can follow that and be almost Christian and miss heaven altogether. There's a religious There's a religious people among us. They're even in the workplace. I heard a lady testifying last night at Edgewood about the very fact, you know, they talk about heaven things and they talk about godly things, and yet you'll catch them talking about a whole lot of ungodly things. Amen. Their speech betrays them real quick. Because religion doesn't fix what's wrong with you. If you're lost, religion can't cure that ill. You have to be born again to actually experience what it means to be free. Religious but lost. Those are almost Christians. They come into church every Sunday. I'm gonna move on here in just a second. They come into church every Sunday. They do church things. Some may not be as devout to the religious environment as others, right? Some will come on Easter and they'll come on Christmas. Let me ask you a question. If you believe in God, why is only Easter and Christmas important? I'm just saying, you need to know whether or not you are or you aren't. Because you must be saved to go to heaven. Make some people uncomfortable to present them with such a clear difference between are or not. Am not, right? But I would not be a faithful servant if I did not tell you the truth. Listen to me. You're going to go to hell if you miss Jesus. I'm only getting to go to heaven because of Jesus. That's all. You're not a worse sinner than I was. No. I was just as lost and bound for the torment of that place than anybody on the earth. But I bowed one day and I said, I am lost. Please save me. I believe that Jesus Christ died for me. And the instant I trusted in Him, He did something in me. Jay, you can't erase what He did to me. I am a new creature. I am a new creature in Christ. I'm going to move on to point number two, and there's only two. You're glad to hear there's only two. But I don't want to move on without saying this, because you're here. You're listening to me right now. As much as we love you, as much as Jesus loves you, you have to be saved. If He speaks to your heart, please call on Him. If you have to, bow down right wherever you're at and say, Jesus, save me. I believe that you died so I could live. You need to be saved. Just being in church won't do it. But then there's another crowd that is almost Christian but lost. Agrippa was the other crowd. Those 12 disciples, they were doing everything they could to be holy. They just didn't realize they couldn't be holy enough. That being anything other than born again could get them into heaven. They just didn't get it. And that's why I tried to spend so much time on that first crowd. Because you might be here. You might be listening. You might have tried to measure yourself to him or her for the all of your life. But here's what I want you to know. When the Spirit of God speaks to you, run to Him. I don't care if you've been deceived. I don't care if you was a pretender. It doesn't make any difference. Do not accept hell as your destiny. Jesus died for you.
Amen.
Don't go to hell. Call on him before it's too late. It don't make any difference. You say, preacher, I've claimed to be saved for 50 years. Does not matter. Compare 50 years to an eternity lost without God. Doesn't matter. Does not matter. You run to Christ and get saved. Run if he's calling you. Call on him and he'll save you today. He'll make you a new creature. The preacher, I can't quit what I'm doing. No, he'll quit it for you. Say, how do you know? Does anybody know what I'm talking about in here? According to the Bible, it said that the things I once loved, I now hate them. That wasn't turning over a new leaf. No, bless God, that was becoming a new creature. When I became a new creature, I suddenly had new desires, and those desires wasn't for the things of this world. New. Not almost, but altogether new in Christ. He will fix what's wrong in you. What you have to do is admit you're wrong and say, fix me. And believe that he can. And the transaction is done. And suddenly you're a new creature and you go about suddenly doing things you never did before. Hey man, coming to church ain't a chore no more. You like it. Bless your heart. You've been coming all these years and you never have liked it. And I'm so sorry for you. I am. If you ain't figured it out, I kind of dig it.
Right.
Amen. You see my hand going up? I ain't waving at Bruce. Amen. I'm having a good time.
Amen.
It ain't a hardship on me to wake up on Sunday morning and say, whoo, I get to go again. So that's the difference, Jeff, between almost and altogether changed. Things I once loved, I now hate. And the things I once hated, I now love. Here's what you'll find. You'll find that all them years you've been coming to the church and thinking, Lord, how long can he preach? You'll suddenly show up and say, is it over already? The difference is whether or not you've ever been saved. It's hard for people that are almost Christian to sit through this stuff. And it's supposed to be. Because it should be the alarm that goes off that says, something's missing. Whatever that guy's all about, he's on something I ain't got. Whatever's making these people love what they're doing, I'm not sure what they're on about, but I'd like to have some of it. You have to be saved to know what I'm talking about, right? See, you could have been raised in church all your life. You could know all the stuff that Christians do, right? Because you were indoctrinated with it. Right? I got some lost friends that say you was brainwashed is what was wrong with you. I got a new brain one day. I'll give you that part. A new nature on the inside. But see, you could know all the right answers. Right? You could have read the book from the front to the back. You can answer the questions. But you're just acting like a Christian. You're just acting. You're not really saved. Now, to those of you that are struggling with whether you are or whether you aren't, this bothers you. To those of you that have no doubt,
right.
Right, you just kind of tuned in saying, I'm with you.
Yep.
Oh, how we love you.
Amen.
And don't you quit coming for any reason. Because I believe with all my heart, this is one of the absolute bestest places you can find Jesus.
Amen.
I believe that. I believe he's sung about. I believe he's preached about. I believe he's prayed to. I believe he's lifted up. I believe Jesus is in this place. Keep coming. Keep coming. Keep coming. We love you. He loves you. Keep coming. Don't stop. But if you're not really saved, you're going to have a hard go of it. Don't get better until you really get the Spirit living inside you. It doesn't get better until He's real in you. All right, that's the religious crowd. I got to move on. So Agrippa was a different story. He wasn't claiming to be religious. As a matter of fact, he was the opposite. He was a wicked king. He wasn't good. He just knew what was going on. His wife actually was a Jew. She had taught him a great deal about Jehovah. He had learned this, and she knew. She seen. She wasn't a believer either. But he had the information. But he was lost. He was lost. And so he says to Paul, after hearing the gospel message, he said, "You almost persuade me. Almost convince me that Jesus can change me. You almost have got me to that place you're speaking of, Paul." I believe he did believe. But you know what? The devils believe. And they tremble at the knowledge of Jesus and His power. That don't make them saved. Said, "Paul, almost you persuaded me to be a Christian." Paul knew what he was up against, right? Because ultimately, Bruce, I can tell you the gospel story and I can know that the Holy Spirit is working with you. But in the end, you have to trust in Christ. I can't save you. Thank God I can't save you. Right? Because if I could save you, then He'd try to make me keep you. That never happened, right? You might as well not have got saved if it was about me. That's the scariest thing I ever heard one time. Preacher, I was there when you saved me. Time out. If that's really what happened, you're still lost. You didn't get saved. There's a crowd, you see, that still lives in sin. But here's what happened. There was a day in their life that something, whatever it was, compelled them to make a decision. And that decision may have led them to an altar, may have led them to a corner, whatever it was. They made a decision in the mind that they were going to be a Christian. The problem was, is that the decision was not at that point open. The offer had not been extended. They were simply responding to a man's invitation or whatever a circumstance was occurring, right? Things get emotional at times. I'll grant you that. And I'm probably the world's worst or world's best at trying to be sensitive to that. The last thing I want to do is deceive anybody, especially children. Right? People probably look at how we do it and say, "You got it all wrong. If you just tap more into the emotions, children are quickly emotional. You could persuade them, sign them up, baptize them, join the church and send them out." Send them out what? Almost Christians? To believe for the rest of their life that they have what they have and that's all there is to it? That's the worst kind of thing I could even contrive in my mind. That you would deceive somebody so innocent and helpless. And then send them out saying, "Now you got it." And they walk out having no idea what you were talking about. Didn't get anything. Dangerous, dangerous stuff here. There are people that live in sin. And you know why they live in sin? Because they're lost. We remember when that person went to the altar. But here's the truth. I don't really know what happened. How can you judge? What power have you been given? Other than a spirit that bears witness, that's the only way that I know for sure that you have been born again. I try to be extra careful. I ask them what happened. And if they can't tell me, I don't tell them. Because if you didn't work that out with God, you never got saved. Right? We could sign up hundreds, but it wouldn't be no count. It wouldn't matter. Because what will happen is they'll grow up, and you know what? It'll be just like the true proverb that Peter wrote about. He said, a hog will go back to the wallowing in its mire. How come? Because a hog is a hog. That's what hogs do. You say, oh, but they're saved. Maybe. The prodigal was a son of the father. I don't doubt that. But there was a point in his life that he hit rock bottom, and his only thought was, I'm going where? If you ain't saved, you don't yet have that point of reference.
Amen. Amen.
And here's what'll happen. You will never go back home. You never had the home to begin with. They live in sin. Why? Because they're lost. That's what sinners do. We need to quit calling them saved. If you can't tell the difference, don't say anything. Lest you have some ability the rest of us don't have. The reason that some people can't come out from among the world is because they've never been saved. And yet we remember when they were 12 that they went up forward and they made a profession and they joined a church and they were baptized. Listen, I have no doubt in my mind, I've baptized scores of lost people. For the record, as far as I know, not my fault.
Right.
You tell me you're saved and you want to join a church, we receive you based on your testimony. If you ever join a church, if you're not already, we'll ask you. And it'll be based on your testimony that you get in. How come? Because I truly am not a discerner of one's heart. But I can tell you this, those people that we think are out there and they're saved and they need to come home, they can be brought to the place they come home. Right, Sam? Right, here's a testimony, and I'm not picking on him. He's already shared it 100 times with us, and I love it every time. Saved at an early age, but there was a bunch of years you spent living for the devil, right? You too. But there was also a day came that when you heard him say, this is it, what did you do? You went back home. You went back home. How come? Because you're not your own anymore. And that experience, having gone out into the wilderness and experiencing, even as a saved person, you knew you were still saved. You knew that what you were doing was wrong. It's completely different than living in the world while you're still lost. Almost a Christian, but religious. Almost a Christian, but lost. There's rebellious people out there today, and they're living in sin because they've never been saved. You say, well, that disturbs me. Good. I'd rather know the truth and be able to pray that way than trying to pray a way that's not actually accurate. There's all kinds of people that have made a profession of faith and yet they never got born again. So this is confusing. No. Let me go back to the first two questions. Have you received the Spirit of Christ? And if what you say is, I don't believe I have, then you're lost. You're lost. And I don't say that in a condemning way. You the same way I was when he found me. Let me say it that way.
Amen.
Because every one of you was lost. Till he did the work. I ain't sure I'm saved. Does the Spirit dwell in you? I don't know. If that's the honest answer, And you better be concerned, because not knowing that He lives in you can't happen. Can't happen. When the Holy Spirit of God comes in, Paul knew that. What he wrote to the Romans there, chapter number 8, was he said, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, I'm sorry, but he's not Christ's. He's none of His. Because to be born again, you will have the Spirit of God in you. In you. And if you don't have the Spirit of God, what in the world was you baptized into? It didn't take, I can tell you that. It didn't work. That's the reason I tell folks, they thought they were saved and they get saved. Amen. There's people. Amen. Raise your hand, Tabitha. I'm picking on her now. And that's your testimony. What a precious testimony. Went 10 years. Is that right? 10 years. Thinking she was saved because she knelt at an altar one time. But all the while could not experience the joy of a believer. You know how hard it is to try to be a Christian when you don't have the resource to be it? Amen. That's the most miserable thing I could ever try to figure out how to do. Right. Is to try to be Christ-like and have no Christ. Amen. I like what one guy said about it. He said, no, I could never write a Shakespeare play. No, I could never paint a Rembrandt. And no, I could never be like Jesus. But if I had the genius of Shakespeare, yes, I could write one. If I had the talent of Rembrandt, yes, I could paint one. And if I have Christ in me, yes, I can be one. But you cannot be Christian without Christ. Very important. All right. I found out this morning as I was just trying to study this again that there's a second part to it, right? Right? Because your little brain only takes in what your backside will absorb, right? Because you're tired right now, you're ready to go. So next time, whenever that is, I want to share with you what the Apostle John said about this whole business. He recognized that this one issue was categorically paramount within the body of Christ. People need to know how they are saved. They need to know what it means, how it happens, how you know that you've been born again. And we'll get that next time. But this is close enough for now. You are either almost, or you are all together without Christ. One equals heaven in the end. The other is hell. Jesus came that you would not have to go to hell. He loves you today. We love you. The Spirit says come. The bride says come. Right? We all say come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. But do not stay in your present condition. And that is almost a believer. Almost. Say, preacher, you're making an assumption. Come get a song. Come get a song for us. You're making an assumption that I'm even almost a Christian. Well, I am making partly an assumption. You say, why? Based on data. You say, what data? You're here. You're here. Which leads me to assume you believe there is something about this you need to know. And I'm glad you're here. I am so glad you're here. Because you're right, there is something you need to know. Jesus loves you, and He died for you. And all it takes to be born again is to confess your sin. I'm a sinner, and I believe that you died for my sin on the cross. You shed your blood to pay for my sin debt. And I trust you as my Savior. Can it be any simpler than that? Paul wrote it like this. He said, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Don't be almost saved, because that's altogether still lost. You'll miss heaven if you miss Jesus. Stand with us. Run to God today if you need Him. If you're not right with God, come to Him. Say, preacher, I'm not sure. Be sure. Come and pray. Whatever you need to do, come and pray. Take this opportunity to pour your heart out to God and make sure that you're altogether a Christian. Go ahead and sing.